Welcome to our Sabbath worship services. We're glad to have you, all of you listening live around the world, in the United States, Bangladesh, South America, wherever you might be. Welcome. We're happy to have you today. Well, as human beings, we sometimes forget. We don't always have as sharp a memory as we would like. And being forgetful is something that can occur as we age. Our mind is no longer as sharp as it used to be. I found this quote on a website for the National Institute on Aging and about memory as we age. As people grow older, changes occur in all parts of the body, including the brain. As a result, some people notice that they don't remember information as well as they once did, and aren't able to recall it as quickly. They may also occasionally misplace things or forget to pay a bill. These usually are signs of mild forgetfulness, not a serious memory problem. It's normal to forget things once in a while at any age, but serious memory problems make it hard to do everyday things, such as driving, using the phone, and finding the way home. Now, that's a class of memory issues that some of us, as we get older, we begin to forget things, and hopefully we don't, as we get older, get to this stage where we can no longer drive or use a phone or find our way home, but that is something that occurs. However, there is a class, so there's an example of forgetfulness, but there's a class of forgetfulness we're warned about in the scriptures, which is not quite the same as what we're talking about here when we age. Sometimes we get older, our memory may not be as sharp. It's a special kind of forgetfulness, specific to those who have covenanted with God and accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, if you like titles, the title of our study, our message today, is Lest We Forget. Lest We Forget. Now, to begin our understanding of this kind of forgetfulness, let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at an admonition given to the ancient Israelites by Moses. We'll begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and this is verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them your sons and your sons' sons." Teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Verse 10, "Especially the day that you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb," or Mount Sinai, "when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood unto the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire into the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice." Now let me make a comment here on Deuteronomy 4, this verse 12. I think the elders of Israel and Moses did see God. You can see that in Exodus 24. It appears that the common people were not allowed up onto the mountain, and they were not allowed to see the image and form of God. There's a very important reason for that. "And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone." That's verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now I'm going to read just a little further than I planned on. I'm going to go read down to verse 16. "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land where you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed to yourselves, For you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spoke unto you into Horeb, out of the midst of the fire. Now here's a really, really critically important verse here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16. It says, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Now he goes on with other different likenesses. But I think it's fair to say that when the Israelites were commanded not to make images, they were commanded not to perform or do the sin of idolatry, correct? Not to make these graven images and bow down to them, because that's definitely idolatry. It's a big sin. They were commanded to, lest they forget these things that they had seen on the mount. So there was a very important reason, and I covered this in the last message on Paul, the New Covenant, and you, and also on the message before that. This dramatic scene here, which is discussed even in Hebrews chapter 12, of the Israelites seeing this terrible quaking in the mountain, and all of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet and the fire, and all the things that they saw. It was so scary and so terrible and so dramatic. It was intended to imprint on their minds the critical importance of maintaining this covenant with God that they had made and not forgetting it. Remember, they're told, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves that you do not forget this covenant when you go into the land. It was very, very, very important that they not forget. And what would happen then? They would corrupt themselves, make a graven image, the similitude of any figure. Now, we as human beings, we tend to like to physical things. We tend to cuddle up to those because we can see them. There tends to be a proclivity, if you will, because we're human, to want to worship physical things and see those things. And we know, of course, that that's idolatry. Now, idolatry is also connected to another sin, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But what we're really talking about is this admonition, lest you forget. The things that you have seen, the things that you have heard. So we're going to take a look now. We've looked at that in the Old Testament. We've looked at that admonition, how Moses gave them an admonition and said, don't forget the things that you've seen here. Don't ever forget them, and teach them to your children diligently. Now, why was it so important, at least for the Israelites at that time? Because their ability to stay in the land and to be blessed was based on their obedience to the covenant that they had made with God. You can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the blessings and cursings chapter. Now, we're not going to cover that specifically today, but I want you to be aware that that is there, and that it was very, very important that the Israelites, under what we term the Old Covenant, and I discussed that, were warned to take heed to themselves, lest they forget. And the sad thing about us human beings is we do forget God. It's a proclivity that's been happening down through the centuries. We have forgotten God in so many ways. And the results are never good when we forget about God. So we're talking about a different kind of forgetfulness here, not the one that happens as we age, our memory kind of dulls, and you know, some individuals tend to have, you know, even more severe issues with their memory and not being able to find their way home. We're not really talking about that kind of forgetfulness. We're talking about forgetting about the things, in the case of the Israelites, the things that they saw. In the case of the New Testament Christians, we're going to read about that now. What about us? What do we need to remember lest we forget our admonitions? in the New Testament. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, and I read this scripture as well in the last message, but I thought it was appropriate that we would hear this again. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. So this is talking to the New Testament believer, the one who has not come to Mount Sinai and seen all those great things. Let's begin reading in verse 18 of Hebrews 12. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which the voice they heard, they entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. It must have been really, really, really scary for them to ask Moses, we don't want to hear that anymore. You go talk to God and don't ever have him talk to us again, because that was really a terrible experience. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded, if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So those were some of the restrictions that were given. They were not to allow any animals. They were not to try to approach in the mountain. And they were not to see the similitude of God because of that issue that we had seen in Deuteronomy chapter 4 with making the graven images. It was a big proclivity for mankind back in those days, not in our modern times, to make these graven idols and to bow down to them. There was something comforting about having that physical thing right next to you. So they couldn't endure this. I mean, this was really, really scary and terrible. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am exceeding fear and quake. So he was extremely fearful of it. And he had been going up and talking to God. This must have been just utterly unbelievable. Now, this is where it begins to speak to us. But you are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels. And to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn. So here's the difference between what they were, their admonition, lest you forget and you get cursed in the land. We have an admonition here. We've not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to the General Assembly, the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is a far greater thing than what the Israelites saw, where we're coming in the new covenant, in the new relationship that we have with God. And to Jesus, verse 24, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So I'm gonna stop reading there. But how shall we escape? The Israelites didn't escape. Let me just make that point. There were many of them that died in the wilderness and also after they came into the land. We know that they did not keep the covenant of God. And many of them died in the curses that were poured out onto the land. Many foreign armies came in, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Macedonians. We know ravaged Israel. So they did not escape those terrible tragedies. Will we escape? Paul says, if you think you're going to escape, the Israelites thought they were going to escape and they didn't, for him that spoke on earth. How are we going to escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. We will not escape. So lest we forget the things that we should give heed to all the more from heaven, let us not forget those things, and let us focus on what our calling and what Jesus Christ and God the Father have done for us. Now, I wanted to take a break here and talk about modern society with respect to us human beings in general. In the information age, we are bombarded with so much information about the world around us. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. We talked about Mount Sinai and the giving of the covenant there, the old covenant, and then we talked about the new covenant and how important that is to us, and how we won't escape. But I'm going to just take a moment here, and in the sense of forgetfulness, I wanted to introduce or discuss this subject. We live in a time, it's called the information age. Some people have coined that. We're bombarded with so much information about the world around us. We have access to news sources, social medias, so many different ways to communicate with people around the world. It's easy to make phone calls, video calls to people in other countries around the world now. We have that great ability to do that. Now, the Bible prophesies a time like we have now in the book of Daniel. I wanted to mention this very quickly. This is Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, "You, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So information age, information and knowledge are pretty much the same thing. Information or knowledge will be increased, and it has been increased dramatically and continues to dramatically increase and bombard us from all different angles. Now, much of this information has a negative effect on us. I think that can be easily proven, but let me talk about some of the negative effects. And this is going to tie in to lest we forget the topic that we're talking about today. So just bear with me for a few minutes. So how does the information age affect us negatively? Or how can it affect us negatively? Our computer technology via smartphones, laptops, tablets, and all the other different devices we have, it's an incredible invention that can be very useful. The internet, which is how all these devices are connected, is also another incredible invention that enables us to connect. It essentially connects the entire globe with the ability to communicate and interact with pretty much anybody on Earth almost in real time. So social media is a kind of a subset of this computer technology. While social media can be very beneficial, a very beneficial way to communicate and interact with your family members or friends, it also can have its problems. And some platforms, discussions can descend into extremes, which are very unpleasant and negative, and can lead us into depression. Some people have actually had their character assassinated or lost their jobs, or there's been a lot of bad things that have come across on social media. Just our focus on social media, if we spend too much time on this, looking at social media and consuming all the different things in there, it can lead us down a path of depression or negative attitude. Now, the news, the reality of most news channels that we have, and this is another, right now we're connected to the internet, we can get almost any news source in the world, I think, and we can watch all these different news sources. And I'm not saying watching news sources is bad, but I want to caution you on how you consume news and what you think about it. Most news channels need to bring in money to continue operations, so they function as a business. They do this through running commercials in between their shows. One of the biggest ways to increase their viewership is not to make things boring, make them sensational and scary. We have to make these news stories so that people will watch our channel. Therefore, we can get more money from our advertisers. They also report on crimes that have been committed in our local area. And we should always be cautious and circumspect about our safety, but not to the point where we have anxiety about our safety all day long just because we've watched the news and seen some crimes that have been committed maybe in our local area. If you consume too much of this type of news, you will begin to be fearful, perhaps even depressed, that you live in such a messed up world. You may start to have anxiety. So I'm not suggesting that you never watch the news, but I am suggesting that you be careful about the sensationalism that some of the news media puts on these different stories. Yes, it's important to watch the news at times to understand and know what's going on in the world, but don't let it overwhelm you to the point where you begin to forget the promises that God has given you, your relationship with God. We can easily do that as human beings. We can look at the world around us. Remember, that's looking at living by sight and not by faith. Looking at the world around us really can drag us down very, very quickly. We are all subject to that. There's not a human being on earth that's not subject to looking at negativity over the long, you know, just spending your time focusing on negativity all the time, which is what the news is. You see very, very few positive news stories. So please be careful about how the news affects your mind and your relationship with God. Make sure you know that these news anchors or the news networks are paid to do a particular job and to kind of drum up sensationalism and things on the news stories. And that's all, there's a profit motivation behind it. So computer technology, like I said, the information age is bombarding us. So how can that possibly fit into our topic today, lest we forget? Well, you can spend so much time on social media. You can spend so much time on the news that you are now, in effect, you are forgetting your relationship with God because you're focusing so much and so intently on that. You're focusing on that and you're forgetting the things that God commands and that God tells you, the promises that are in the Word of God. So you're not spending your time. It's a simple matter of you're spending more and more time on this computer technology, social media, news, consuming all this negative content. And that is going to lead to what? If your focus is wrong, it's going to lead to this biblical way of forgetfulness, where you begin to stray away, and then you can begin to also form idols in your life. You can begin to commit idolatry. How? In innocent little ways. By looking at, maybe, if you see a lot of bad news, if you see a lot of bad things on social media, well, who can help me? Who can save me from this? You know, who's a human that can possibly help us? You know, and that even gets into the realm of politics. We should be very, very careful about putting our trust in politicians. Our trust, not that we want to be bad citizens of this nation, I'm not at all suggesting that. I'm suggesting that your trust and your connection should be with God the Father and Jesus Christ. and not so much on the social media, the news, the politics of this world. Because it will drag you down. And if you let it, it will overwhelm you. And it will then make you forget God the Father and Jesus Christ. You'll be in a tailspin. And you won't. It'll be very, very difficult for you to get out of it. Now, there are other things that can make us forget about God. Our personal lives. We can focus too much on ourselves. We can get self-absorbed. We can get into a woe-is-me attitude. We can look at the struggles or problems that we have. Maybe we have financial problems. Maybe we have family problems. Maybe we had a death of a loved one. Maybe we have health problems. The list goes on for all the different things that happen to us in our personal lives. You know, maybe work can be too much of a problem. We get on that hamster wheel and we feel like we never can get off, right? You just keep running on the hamster wheel. And, you know, it seems as if in our modern age, you know, with all the modern conveniences we have, we don't have more free time. We have less free time than if you study like some of the agrarian societies, some of these ancient societies, you would think that they worked all a lot. And they didn't work. They do not work as much as we do. And they don't even work as much as we do in the United States. I'll just say this, that I've been in other countries and they do not work with such dedication and commitment. For example, they'll take a siesta or they'll go out for lunch and they'll go to a restaurant. You know, they'll go from noon till 2 o'clock and they'll sit down and relax and have a glass of wine and have some lunch and not be so stressed out. Maybe you eat lunch, you know, in America, we eat lunch in 20 minutes and we're done. We're back on the job, right? We got to get the job done. You know, so that also, you know, we can get connected. We can get our focus all kind of whacked out to the point where we begin what? We begin to forget, lest you forget. We begin to get focused on the worldly things, the things, the physical things that are in our sight and in our minds. Money and possessions, that's another big one. In today's world, we have a wealth of possessions, more so than they did in the ancient world. We can acquire a whole bunch of things. We can acquire houses, fancy cars, clothing, gadgets, a focus on material things. You know, it's very easy for some of us to get wrapped up into those types of things. And what happens then? The more you get wrapped up into that type of stuff, the less you remember God. You begin to forget. Now let's transition over to a couple of parables that Jesus Christ told, and these are going to fit in with, I'm going to tie all this together with our message and with what we talked about, the information age and how that can distract us. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, this is the parable of the sower, and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the falls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprung up, and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has an ear, let him hear." And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and that they may not understand." Okay, so he's explaining this to the disciples. He's mentioning to them that he speaks in parables to certain individuals because They're not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, at least at this point in time. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So Satan comes, and as soon as they hear the message of truth, the devil comes and he's able to take that out, take that away out of their hearts. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, and for a while believe in the time of temptation, and in the time of temptation they fall away. So these, we're looking at the three classes of seeds that were thrown out into the field. Actually, I think there's four classes of seeds here. And then these are they which fell among thorns. Okay, so the ones that fell among thorns, this is what I really want you to focus on. Are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So there is something happens here. They're choked, and that's kind of the example or the imagery that's used here. They're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And when they're choked, they forget about God. They're choked. It chokes out the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is the seed that's being cast out by the sower. So they cannot grow in the Word of God. Now we're going to read one other parable here, Luke 12, verse 45. Luke 12 and verse 45. And this is about the servant that says, "My Lord delays his coming." But and if that servant say in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming," and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant, will come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour that he is not aware. And will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So, and this particular class of person says, "My Lord delays his coming." Almost like, I don't really want my Lord to come back right now. I'm having too much fun. I know it's going to be several years before he comes back. And so this person forgets God in this way. Says, "My Lord delays his coming," and begins what? To abuse his fellow manservants and maidens. And to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now that's, I think we could say that that's spiritually drunken, right? So spiritually, if you're spiritually drunk, you could be not very alert and kind of get sort of forgetful. That's something I didn't mention. But if you're intoxicated, you can forget a whole bunch of things and behave in a very, very strange manner. So these individuals that we talked about here in Luke chapter 8, specifically the one where Luke 8, where the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, or maybe even the pursuits of like watching social media, or maybe you're watching the news wouldn't really fit in with that class, but it, collecting cars and houses and nice clothing would. That can tend to choke the Word of God out of you, where you begin to forget. Now these parables, I mentioned something about idolatry at the beginning of the message. And I wanted to make a connection here between what the Israelites, remember they had this proclivity. They didn't see the similitude of God on the mountain, and there was an important reason, because God knew that they had a proclivity to make a physical idol, right? Idolatry. Well, we've had a couple of examples here where individuals either have been choked out with the cares and riches or pleasures of this life, or they have taken an attitude where God delays his coming. He's not going to see what I'm doing. I would prefer rather that he not come, because I've begun to eat and drink with the drunken and beat my fellow servants. So, obviously that is a parable. So you're abusive to other people in the church, potentially, or in your life, and you begin to be connected with physical things, eat and drink, and to deal with the pleasures of this life, the riches and pleasures of this life. I think we could probably make that connection there to this person who says, my Lord delays his coming. So there's a connection between what we talked about in Luke 8 about this choking the cares and riches of this life. And Paul he connects the dots here for us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, and covetousness." Now, at the very end, he says something very critical, important, I want you to understand. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So there's a connection between covetousness and idolatry. So when you get sucked into whatever it is in this world, the information age, it can easily suck us in. And maybe you get sucked into desiring physical items or whatever it might be, new gadgets, new clothing. If you begin down that path of covetousness, that leads to idolatry. It is idolatry. So once you have gotten into the path or gotten down into idolatry, you now have forgotten who. Well, idolatry is what? It's a worship of a false god. So you're no longer worshiping the true God, you're worshiping a false god by covetousness. Now as we begin to finish up here, let us read things to remember, lest we forget, because we are all subject to forgetting. We're all subject to being dragged down by the world around us. We can be dragged down by the news media. We can be dragged down by social media. We can be dragged down by the tragedies that happen in our lives. But you have to fight back. You have to not forget. Not forget the great salvation. Remember what we read in Hebrews 12. You have to not forget the great things that we have been promised of coming to the church of the firstborn and of those. We're talking about the first resurrection and your calling. So let's read some verses out of the Bible of things that we should remember lest we forget. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you forget that admonition? Absolutely. You can feel as if God has left you. If you get too far, maybe you're not content with the things that you have. Not everybody has $1 million and a nice home and all that type of thing. And it's not wrong if you do. But be content with such things as you have. Now, that's not necessarily always an easy thing to do. But if you really want this, if you want to embrace this promise or this commandment, then you can be content with the things that you have in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're bought with a price. What price is that? That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who came to give his life for you and me. Now, if we forget that great sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us to forgive our sins, we forget about the price that God the Father and Jesus Christ paid, we can easily get pulled into the things of this world. We're human, and we are subject to physical things. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This actually means Christ's own faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have to remember that, lest we forget. Remember that Jesus Christ gave himself for you and for me, and that we are to live our life. We're crucified. In other words, the Bible uses this as a simile or a metaphor. We are crucified with Christ. So the old man, the one that was sinful, has died. And the life that we should now live is that we live in the flesh is by the faith of the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How is that different than news and social media? It's very different, right? Think about these good things. Now, you can probably find things on social media, like YouTube or whatever, that talk about things that are honest and things that are just, things that are pure. It really matters what you spend your time on. So we're commanded, to focus on these things. The things that are pure, the things that are of good report, not the rottenness that we see in this world. And not all of the world is rotten. There are some good things in the world. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, just a couple verses down, Paul says this: not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So we should learn, and I think we can learn, and I'm not suggesting at all that you can snap your fingers in a couple of hours and learn to be content. But with God's help, I think you can learn to be content with whatever state you're in, just like Paul. He said he had to learn that. Paul suffered a lot. You can read about all the things that he went through. And he learned to be content. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Now he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy. Now, there's a whole sermon, probably could give a whole sermon message on that, on how to love mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is forgiveness for an individual who has done wrong. actually is guilty of doing wrong. That's mercy, right? Love mercy. Love being able to forgive. And to walk humbly with your God. And to walk humbly with your God. So humility, something for us to remember. If you get focused all sometimes on social media, you get focused on the things of this world, it can puff you up. That's one thing that can happen. You get focused on yourself, get too self-absorbed. You can get in a woe is me attitude, and that's not humility. So what can we learn from what we've studied today? The Israelites were warned lest they forget of all the great things that they've seen on Mount Sinai. Lest they forget and lest terrible things come upon them. We also are warned lest we forget a greater salvation that we have been given under the new covenant. So may we not forget the things and give heed to those things more even so than the Israelites did in ancient times. So recalibrate yourself. If you find yourself in anxiety or depression, look at where you're spending your time. Are you forgetting about your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? What's happening to you? Focus in. Read the Word of God. Read the admonitions. We've just read a few of them. There's so many more of them that can be read and can help you. Read the Word of God and pray and ask for Him to help you. He will. He says, He promises, the scripture we read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But we, what do? We forget and we forsake God. So let us not forget so great a salvation as we have been promised by Jesus Christ and we have covenanted with God to receive at the resurrection of the just. Please join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the promises that you have given us in the scriptures. We are to hold fast to them, lest we forget, lest we become ensnared in the traps of this world by social media, information, our own selves. There's so many different things that can cause us to lose our focus, forget about you, and go down the path of destruction. So, Father, please help us not to forget. Please help us to remember our commitment to you and to remember to love you with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind, and also to love our fellow man as ourselves. We ask your dismissal now on the Sabbath day, Father, and ask your blessing on the food. Thank you so much for it. Ask your blessing on our keeping of the day and our conversation, and pray for your safety and protection and guidance upon us as we continue to live in sometimes a very difficult world. We pray these things now, Father, and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.